Well, God morning to you. Welcome back to the God School. This is the 10th message and the concluding message as we have gone through verse by verse through the epistle of Paul to the Ephesians. And as we have stated in this series, Paul presents to us a picture of true Christianity, which is an extremely elite picture of that which God has purposed since before the foundation of the world. Paul opens and says that he has chosen us, and I've said it before, I'll say it again, listen, that God has chosen us for himself out of those that he did not choose in Christ Jesus. It says in him, let's get rid of the pronouns and speak to the person, Jesus Christ, in Jesus Christ, God chose out for himself out from among those he did not choose in Christ Jesus, before the worlds were formed. And he has made known unto us the mystery of his will, folks. We're talking about God, our Father. And Paul says that this is a mystery that he is revealing that has been hid since the world began. In the 9th verse of the first chapter, it says, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, not yours, God did not, let me rephrase that. God is doing all this according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself . He did this after the counsel of his own will. He did it in wisdom and in prudence. God, through Paul, is revealing himself to us, and we should look through the eyes of faith at that which is being revealed. This mystery, we talked about it before, it has to do, when the mystery is being revealed, it has to do with the initiated, that group that God chose out for himself. We are the initiated. We have the revelation and understanding of this mystery. Paul, at the end of this, is going to say the mystery of the gospel, the mystery of the good news, I love this book. I hope you are gaining knowledge, and through knowledge, a love of what is being revealed in this book. Paul is revealing to us that we, the church, those who belong to God, those who belong to the Lord, the better definition, are called to be with our Father in Christ Jesus throughout eternity. Paul declares in this second chapter that in the ages to come, he, that is God, might show the exceeding riches of his grace, unmerited favor, in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved. This is the gospel, folks. For by grace are ye saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man boast. You got a testimony about how great God has been to you in this life because of who you are and because of your works? I want you to march right up to heaven and show God you deserve it. And God's going to say what God's going to say, but it is by grace. He's not accepting our testimony of works. He's accepting Christ Jesus and the work he did, wherein he took upon himself all the sins of the world, that he, Jesus, might take the treasure out of the world. That it might be with him throughout eternity. And he tells us in the third chapter that Christ, well, let's go a little bit further. Paul says, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, in this new creation, in this dual creation that the Christian has now become, the old man. Which is passing away. And the new man, the inward man, which is being renewed day by day. Paul goes on to say that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. We went through the fourth chapter. I don't want to spend a lot of time in the rest of the fourth chapter. Or the fifth chapter, it talks about common sense things. It's not a checklist to see if we've done all these things that we can say to God, we've done this. It's just common sense stuff. Paul goes on to the sixth chapter and he says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. For this is right. Oh, where has that gone? But listen, honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. That it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. Now I want to get to the meat of this sixth chapter. Paul talks about fathers and children, servants and masters. Doing what's pleasing to the Lord. But here's where I'm going. Paul says in the 10th verse, finally, my brethren, after having said all that he said, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. This, finally, for the rest, be ye empowered. Receive it. And in the strength of the might of him, that is, of God. He says, put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The word being translated wiles is methodias. It is a cognate of our English word methods. I am going to try to play a recording for you that I think might really wake you up to the methods of the devil, who in other places in the scripture is called the God of this world. I'm hoping it's going to work, that you might hear something from a man by the name of Paul Harvey. He used to do a program called The Rest of the Story. This recording was done in 1965, and you tell me how pertinent it is to life today.
If I were the devil, if I were the prince of darkness, I'd want to engulf the whole world in darkness, and I'd have a third of its real estate and four-fifths of its population, but I wouldn't be happy until I had seized the ripest apple on the tree, thee. So I'd set about however necessary to take over the United States. I'd subvert the churches first. I'd begin with a campaign of whispers. With the wisdom of a serpent, I would whisper to you as I whispered to Eve. Do as you please. To the young, I would whisper that the Bible is a myth. I would convince them that man created God instead of the other way around. I would confide that what's bad is good and what's good is square. And the old, I would teach to pray after me, our Father, which art in Washington. And then I'd get organized. I'd educate authors in how to make lurid literature exciting so that anything else would appear dull and uninteresting. I'd threaten TV with dirtier movies and vice versa. I'd peddle narcotics to whom I could. I'd sell alcohol to ladies and gentlemen of distinction. I'd tranquilize the rest with pills. If I were the devil, I'd soon have families at war with themselves, churches at war with themselves, and nations at war with themselves, until each in its turn was consumed. And with promises of higher ratings, I'd have mesmerizing media fanning the flames. If I were the devil, I would encourage schools to refine young intellects, but neglect to discipline emotions. Just let those run wild. Until before you knew it, you'd have to have drug-sniffing dogs and metal detectors at every schoolhouse door. Within a decade, I'd have prisons overflowing. I'd have judges promoting pornography. Soon I could evict God from the courthouse, then from the schoolhouse, and then from the houses of Congress. And in his own churches, I would substitute psychology for religion and deify science. I would lure priests and pastors into misusing boys and girls and church money. If I were the devil, I'd make the symbol of Easter an egg and the symbol of Christmas a bottle. If I were the devil, I'd take from those who have and give to those who want it until I had killed the incentive of the ambitious. And what'll you bet? I couldn't get whole states to promote gambling as the way to get rich. I would caution against extremes in hard work, in patriotism, in moral conduct. I would convince the young that marriage is old-fashioned, that swinging is more fun, that what you see on TV is the way to be. And thus I could undress you in public, and I could lure you into bed with diseases for which there is no cure. In other words, if I were the devil, I'd just keep right on doing what he's doing. Paul Harvey. Good day.
Well, I'm really hoping that that came through. I won't be able to tell till after this message is finished. But that we might be able to stand against the methods of the devil. Paul goes on to say, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood." I want to make a little comment on that. Having 72 years of experience under my belt, I'm wondering, you know, how does Paul say that? Because I struggle with the flesh every day. Well, and how do I overcome that struggle, or how is that struggle overcome? Paul says in the book of Galatians, in that fifth chapter, he says, walk in the Spirit and the flesh will not have the last word. You know, all of us, the old man in us, that which was born in sin, that which Jesus, who was not only became the trespass offering on the cross, but also the sin offering, that is, the trespass, the sins that we know about, the sin offering, the condition of sin into which we were all born. But Jesus was both the trespass and sin offering and the burnt offering, which is well pleasing to God. For him, the burnt offering is offered exclusively for God's pleasure. I had to take that little side road, but Paul says, put on the whole armor of God that we might be able to stand against the methods of the devil. For we wrestle, poly is the word. It comes out of the Greek Olympic Games where two men enter the ring and they fight to the death. It's the only time in the New Testament this word poly is used. It says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. God's already taken care of the flesh and blood part, folks. But against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Archos, principalities, against powers, exousios powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places, cosmokrateron, archos. These are geographic rulers and places. You know, exousios, they're specific jobs, government, police, teachers, corporations, churches, etc. Don't think, you know, when Jesus was preaching in the temple, you know, there was a devil there. And he took care of them, just like he took care of the God of this world. Because when Jesus came out of that grave, he came out with the keys to death and hell. He took Satan's greatest powers, of which that Corinthian letter tells us was the power of sin. Jesus took care of it. But the struggle continues on because the devil has a purpose. And that purpose is to snatch us away from this wonderful relationship that we are having with God our Father in Jesus Christ by snatching away our faith. How does he do it? He does it by circumstance, which goes directly against the word and promises of God, that through circumstance he might affect and diminish our confidence, our trust in the word of God. Paul says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world. And boy, that poly is really going on. Against spiritual wickedness in high places. How do we do this? That is, stand against the methods of the devil. Paul says, because of this, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. You know, Paul starts this letter of Ephesians out saying that we are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, and that then we're to walk worthily of that vocation, that of that calling wherein we are called. and finally to stand. Usually it's to stand, to walk, to be seated. But here, the final is to stand. And how do we stand? And how are we empowered? In the strength of God's might, Paul says, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. We call this the belt of truth. The belt holds everything together. And girt about with truth, Jesus said, thy word is truth, speaking and praying to the Father. Having on the breastplate of righteousness, not our righteousness, folks, that righteousness which is part of the good news that God, for faith, gives us his own righteousness. And righteousness, in essence, is keeping covenant, is to keep on doing what you said you would do. Those of you who have spoken and expressed your trust, your confidence, your belief in God, stay there with your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Excuse me, and as I've often said, this word peace in the Greek is eirene. It means to set together again with the preparation of the good news that we are set together again with God, and above all, taking the shield of faith. I don't know how many times God speaks of himself being our shield and of his faithfulness being our shield. We are to, above all, take the shield of faith wherewith we shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, or better put, of the devil. I don't care what he throws at you. I don't care what accusations may be thrown at you. I don't care what circumstance you may find yourself in. Hold the shield of faith, that is, acting on the promises of God, because they are more real than any accusation, than any circumstance. And take the helmet of salvation. Keep your mind focused on eternity wherein God has called us. Now, all of these, the belt of truth, the belt of the word of God, the breastplate of righteousness, the shoes shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, these are all receiving acts. But now Paul is going to give us a couple of aggressive acts . It says and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. That's an aggressive act, folks. Take that sword, the word, whenever circumstance faces you which seems to deny the promises of God. Take that sword of the word, the sword of the Spirit. Second aggressive act, praying always. Prayer. It's an aggressive, it's an offensive weapon. Prayer Jesus said men ought always to pray, praying always with all prayer and supplication, that is, with humility, God, your will be done, in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance. That struggle of faith with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And Paul says, for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly and make known the mystery of the gospel, of the good news, of the God spiel, of the Word of God. I ask you, as I have tried to make known this mystery of the gospel, that you pray for me. Paul says, listen, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, in chains. You know, he wasn't being applauded by 20,000 people every Sunday. He was in a dungeon, in chains. So much for God has a great purpose for your life in this world. No, God has a great purpose in eternity for you, which is to be in Christ Jesus. For which Paul says in the 20th verse, I am an ambassador in chains, and thereunto I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Paul says, I'm not letting circumstance stop me. And he concludes, peace to the brethren. Again, exclusive. Paul starts out by calling, by speaking to the church, that is, the people who belong to the Lord in that family relationship. He now calls them brethren, those to whom God has revealed this mystery. Peace. Brethren, we are set together again, and love with faith from God. With love, or and love with faith, and love with faith from God, not in God. This faith is from God, as Paul tells us in that second chapter. He repeats it again. Faith is a gift of God. And he concludes, grace, unmerited favor with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity, in see-throughness. Let me read it again. Peace be to the brethren, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in see-throughness. Amen. No doubt, that's the message of Paul. That's the message the God School is delivering here today. And in that message, and because of that message, Paul concludes, and I conclude. Amen. That is no doubt.